Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to the Pinckney Show. I am the Reverend Edward Pinckney. I tell you, listeners, you have showed out. I cannot believe that over 27,000, I mean, it have kept me busy all week long since last Sunday, tabulating these emails, reading these emails of the questionnaire. Should Daniel McGinnis, the police chief, Harbor, be fired? And over, now listen to this. I mean, it's just plugged up my everything. 27,000 people had tuned into that. Well, I personally believe he should be fired. I believe that what is happening here in the city of Benton Harbor is criminal. And I believe, you know, I love my black brothers and sisters, but unfortunately, what they do, when someone, even though they might be black, I guess, you know, white folks do the same thing. Matter of fact, it's great evidence to show that white folks do the same thing. But black people have a history of knowing when people are doing wrong or still allow this guy to be chief of police here in the city of Benton Harbor. Well, I can tell you this. We have a mayor here that got elected. Well, we figure they stole the election from the people during that time, because he's a slime ball. He's been a slime ball from day one, but I just couldn't see it. Because, as a matter of fact, I considered him a friend, a personal friend, you know, and found out that he was a scumbag, you know. And he was the main reason that I did the election recall of the former mayor, and he's the main reason why I end up going to prison. And he's the main reason right now that I'm 1,000% against him. I'm against him. But he's connected to this guy, Dan McGinnis, the worst police department in the whole United States belongs to Benton Harbor. And I cannot leave out Benton Township. Now, they got to be 1A and 1B when you come to bad policing, when you come to bad position. But the good news is they have not openly shot anybody. That's the good news. They have tasered people. They have beaten people. They had attacked innocent people. They have lied during hearings. They did all the things that you could think of that you would say a police officer would not do. You see, I didn't even know that, you know, when you take the stand on the oath, that you could lie and get away with it. Police officers do it every time they testify. Look, 99% of the time when they testify, they lie. That's here in Benton Harbor. I can't say over the rest of the country, but I can say right here, where I was an eyewitness, more or less. But it's unfortunate, you know. And here's the thing that people don't get about police officers. We say, well, they need more training, and that's the reason why they're killing black people, because they don't have the training. That's not true at all. See, it's what's in a person's heart that's more important than anything else. You see, it's what's in your heart. These are killers. These are white supremacists that have taken over the police departments. You know, I think the I think his name was Blackwell, the prosecuting attorney. And I never cheer for the prosecuting attorney, never. But in the case, this case that was going on, what happened was Blackwell closed an argument. He said that, he said George Floyd had a big heart, a gigantic heart. He said, but Derek Chauvin had a small heart. He didn't have the heart to do the right thing. And it's true. He was heartless. And they normally get away with this. Only less than 1% of every killer cop get away. They never go to trial. They never be found guilty. See, he was. They sacrificed him, but he should have been. And I'm not a guy that believe in violence. That I don't. But I'm going to say this to all my listeners, and I know you out there listening. I believe this. The shooting and the killing of black folks is never going to stop. Not in my lifetime. Because they got a shield around them. When they kill someone, most of the time they probably reward it. If they are charged, they'll raise $1 million to get a lawyer. This guy, Derek Chauvin, accumulated more than $2 million for a legal team. More than $2 million. They didn't want nobody to know. They were about the $27 million that the Floyd family received. But what about the $2 million now this killer received that people is not talking about? You see, if let's say the next time these cop killers, killer cop, kill somebody. And the family members show up at the killer cop front door. Now, I'm not advocating violence, so don't even go there. But let them make the decision on how they want to handle it. You know, there was an incident in Detroit just recently, and I was watching the video of this young man. They was at the gas station. I believe it was in Detroit. And this cop had just killed his brother. Shot him down. Four cops. Shot him down. And he drove up in the gas station with his girlfriend. He's a married man now. The white cop. I guess he was boasting or something. Or they all knew him at the gas station. He drove up to the gas station, pumping gas. While he was pumping gas, he was shot 8 times in the back of the head. 8 times. These white cops had just killed this guy's brother. And they shot him 8 times. White guy. They was mad. The whole police force mad now that he's dead. But they didn't say nothing about this guy's brother who he killed. He actually killed him with murder. But once again, it's always justifiable homicide. Some say they even placed a gun in his brother's hand because his brother didn't carry a gun. But they said that this cop killed him and placed a gun in his hand saying that he had a gun. No body cam. Nothing. Four cops killed him. Not one cop had their cameras on. Unbelievable. Honolulu. Now, all the places in the world that you would think a cop would kill a black man, Honolulu, shot and killed the black man, unarmed, as usual. I don't know what to tell y'all. But this is never going to stop. not with the mentality of the police department today. Even down here, we just been fortunate, you know. And just recently, North Carolina shot in the back, black man, came out in his in defense of the police officers. What can they say? No gun, no nothing. Virginia, man, black man murdered. Little girl murdered in Ohio, saying that the cop didn't have a choice. He had a choice. He just didn't make the right choice. Anytime they see an opportunity to kill black folks, they are going to do it. Whether you like it or not, they're going to do it. So get yourself prepared and start dealing with this mess. See, you look. I talked about this guy that killed this cop in Detroit. When he go to prison, he going to be a hero. He ain't got to pay for nothing. Nothing. This guy going to have it made. He going to have TVs, steak dinners. He going to have it all because these prisoners are going to make sure that he gets everything he needs. Everything. You know. And here's the shame part about that police department. They were so mad when this guy, he came into court, they had him all shackled up and everything. And they just looked at him like, if he should have raised his finger up and pointed at them and said, you going to be next. I bet you that would have scared the living daylight out of him. You going to be next, killer. You're a killer copper. That's what you are. But it's unfortunate that when you sit down here and think about it, you know, we don't live so you cops can kill us. And here's the thing: you never hear a black cop killing a black a person. You don't hear that, and you very seldom hear a white cop killing a white person. Very seldom. It do happen, though, but very seldom. So we're living in the time right now that we are going to have to start making some very, very important decisions. You know, some of us going to have to make the supreme sacrifice. I believe things will never change till they figure out there are going to be a penalty for killing that little boy in Chicago. There's going to be a penalty for shooting that black man in the back. There's going to be a penalty for putting a gun in that black man's hand claiming he had a gun. There's going to be a penalty. Until that time, black folks, you are in for a rude awakening. If they pull you over because you got the older guys are a freshener hanging, be careful. If they claim you got a taillight out, be careful. Be careful. Be careful, because it's crucial. Everything they do is justifiable homicide. Everything. Everything. So make sure that you are aware of what's going on around you. Cops will kill you and get off. They will murder you and get off. And the shame part about it is very little you can do. So listen, let me bring in my good friend, Ms. Chapman. I tell you, you see, I remember years ago, over 10 years ago, I've been very, very supportive of my TI family. I know they're a piece of work. They're a piece of work. But a lot of times people don't understand what they're under. And when they tell you that your government is monitoring you, controlling your mind, Believe them. It's a true fact. They can do it. They can monitor your man from the satellite. Wow. Microwave your brain. Fry your brain. Fry your heart. Fry your inside. And get away with it. Who's going to believe you? You know, you kill somebody that they've been targeted by the government, they'll laugh you out. They'll laugh right in your face. They will. Like in Tennessee, also involved in high school shooting, killed a student, claiming he shot at him in the bathroom. Wasn't true. But unfortunately, we don't believe that law enforcement, our government, would do something bad. Yes, they will do something bad. They will kill you and falsify the evidence. Ms. Chapman.
Yes. Yes, it's Mignon Chapman speaking. Hello, Reverend. How are you?
I'm great.
Yes.
How about yourself?
Well, I'm trying to hang in there. I'm trying to. I just want to thank you. And you're right. We are on a very dangerous, rapidly evolving situation. And you're right. It's not getting better. In fact, there's a whole program. It's well ran. And I have to say, though, the documentation that I have, it's indisputable. It's indisputable. There is no conspiracy theory. They are on our computers. They're on our phone. And I caught them, which is why I, they are caught. I caught them. Before we start, I think I want to start off by, well, first of all, thanking you so much. You're so wonderful. I don't know what we would do without you. You're so amazing. Thank you for having me on. That's one thing.
Thank you.
Yes, you're
so
amazing. So the purpose for coming on your shows, I can't do this alone. And I would like to give my phone number out first, and my proper name spelling, so that people can call me and we can get together so we can have like a solution. We can talk about solutions to all this instead of just complaining. So my number is 201-430-4470. And I suggest you get a pen and paper because there are a few words that we need to get familiar with. I go by Mignon, which is M-I-G-N-O-N. But if you Google me and the newspaper, when I was suing the New York Times, it's the Daily Mail. And it's Deidre Chapman sues the New York Times. And you can get familiar with my story with suing the New York Times. They wrote a story about me, which wasn't true. And it was a horrible story about how I abused my daughter, which my daughter was not abused and thrown out to be damned. None of it is true. But I would like to talk about my son today, and I would like to talk about someone who was in the news about 3 weeks ago. His name is Noah Green. I would like to talk about that. And I want to talk about him because he reminds me of what's going on with my son. Noah Green, and I don't condone violence. I don't condone killing people. That's not why I'm speaking about Mr. Green today. I'm speaking about him today because just like George Floyd, the original report stated that he was arrested, George Floyd, without even a mention that he died on the scene. Yes, they didn't mention anything about how the reporter was fighting to get the recorded tape exposed publicly. So just like Mr. Noah Green, who killed a police officer at the White House, What they didn't tell you was that Noah was 25 years old. He was 25. He played for Christopher Newport University. He was a football star. What you didn't know about Noah Green was he was on the dean's list. He had a high-paying job. He was scared to death of being homeless, like most targets. He called his family, begging for help. And what people didn't know was that Noah stated that he was unknowingly taking drugs and was very concerned about his symptoms. Mr. Green was goal-oriented. He claimed to be on the right track. His friends claimed that he was on the right track. He was very proud of his achievements, and he was stating that the amount of goals and devoted hours was constantly being interrupted by symptoms that curtailed his progress. He complained to his family and friends that his roommate drugged him repeatedly in 2019, which led to mental issues. His friend Andre Torrin said that Noah was paranoid. His friend said that he was a very nice person and you could talk to him. Noah Green complained about the government, about being, having his house being broken into. He claimed it was the FBI. He claimed it was the CIA. He claimed to be poisoned. Like most targets, the only problem with targets is we complain without documentation, and we have to get better with documenting our plight so that we won't be led to our demise like Mr. Green, who is dead now. Thought that he was a person that you could talk to, and he went to Africa. There were so many amazing things about Mr. Noah Green, but the media didn't say anything about him. They just said that he was just a kid who shot the cop and he was mentally ill. And that's their MO, we're mentally ill. When I first realized something strange was happening after a hearing suing the New York Times, I decided to sacrifice myself because I had a feeling something wasn't right because my lawyers, Mr. Professor Rod Smala and David Holland, took my computer and gave my computer to the New York Times and left it there for weeks. So when I got it back, there was a back door chipper clipper on my computer, and I knew something wasn't right. So I have documentation proving that they put me on something called artificial intelligence, radio wave table. There's a kernel account which suggests that there's an investment policy on me. My son, something very strange happened with my son during the hearing where Professor Rod Smala wanted him to go on my computer. And it was very strange. He just wanted him to go on my computer and look for emails. It was a very strange request. Now I understand. Yes, it was very strange. And now I'm understanding that he needed my son to be on my computer so he could take pictures of my son. It has something to do with the algorithms, the facial recognition, which is what I want to talk about today, because this facial recognition and biometric, this is the new way of destroying our lives and who we are. So all of these softwares were on my computer, and there's no doubt that the government is involved. It could be the CIA, just like Mr. Green said. It could be Homeland Security. It could be all of us. All I could tell you is that the story that the New York Times wrote about me, which wasn't true, and the assumptions have caused a calamity in my family. They didn't think I was going to catch them. Times, and these two lawyers put me in this program and put my son in this program. The reason why Noah Green is someone who I was very interested in speaking about is because he reminds me of my son. Now, my son was born in South Africa. He was the first American boy born after the anti-apartheid. Nelson Mandela, my son is one of his grandkids. Well, not grandkids, but he's a godfather, excuse me, from my son. I knew and worked with Nelson Mandela in the 90s alongside my husband. I worked with the ANC government. So my son was my best friend. He would never do what he's doing to me right now. I haven't even seen my son. He was acting very weird. I got a phone call from his dean stating that my son was on LSD and was rushed to the hospital. I had no idea that my son was rushed to the hospital. Apparently he was there for a while, maybe a week. Ever since the LSD incident, my son has never been the same. I can't even tell you where my son is today. Last time I talked to him, he was telling me that he was sorry that we had an argument, because we did. We had a horrible argument, which was a very strange argument. He never came back. Excuse me, I'm sorry, it hurts. What I've been doing since I've been in this program is researching them. I was able to obtain information about this artificial intelligence. And I found out that this LSD is an instrument for mind control. So basically, with Noah Green, just like Noah Green, who graduated from Allegheny High School, my son graduated with a bachelor's at Allegheny College. He was supposed to go to Cornell to be a lawyer. I was my son's manager. And I'm noticing some similarities with Noah Green being paranoid. Noah Green left his family because he said that the drugs told him to move to Indianapolis. It's almost like my son left out of here and he can't come home. Like, he won't come home, my son. And when I talk to him, he sounds like he has a gun to his head. I've noticed a few things with myself, which is probably why, maybe the artificial intelligence has a lot to do with it. I'm still learning about this artificial intelligence. But what I do know is that they can build a person to hate. They can control your mood. This LSD torture program is still going on today. There was a broadcast about it just last year. I think his name is Stephen Kinzer, because it's prevalent with targets. I believe the reason why a lot of the targets behave the way they do is because some of us are under some type of mind control. I just wanted to talk about Noah because they just treated him like he was no one. This was a person who was begging for help. And his former college mate, I think his name was Damian Jiggett, he said that he was a very positive guy and that this shooting should not be his legacy. So I just wanted to talk about him and talk about my son and talk about what's happening behind the scenes and behind our backs, on our computers, on our telephones, on our PlayStations. They're using something called biometrics. And we need to start learning the word biometric, because biometric is the new identity theft. they can literally take something called a silicone mask, and it's an anti-spoof device that can make you appear in videos and make you appear in photos, and it's not even you. So I guess in the near future, I'm going to appear someplace, and it's not going to be me, because all of these tools, the biometric service, the encryption service, all of these tools are on my computer when it was left with the New York Times and my lawyers. So while they're watching me, I'm watching them. They're surveillancing me, I'm surveillancing them. They stalked me, I'm stalking them. So at this point in time, I guess I'm asking all of the listeners, if you have any platforms or you know someone who wouldn't mind speaking with me so that we can all get together so we can expose everything that I'm saying, because it's not going anywhere. We're not going to stop being killed, because behind our backs, there's a different world out here. And no one's going to be able to put me in a mental institution and tell me otherwise, because I'm sitting here looking at all the evidence in front of my face. I'm looking at the software. I'm looking at the dates that my computer was with the New York Times. I'm looking at Facebook Orca. I'm looking at ARM C7A. I'm looking at Dalvik. I'm looking at a biometric service and encryption. All this because I wanted them to take down an article that made me into some monster of a mother. I was a good mother. I spent $133,000 on my daughter's education. I'm the type of person who wouldn't tear a tag off a mattress. But they wrote this article in their neediest cases because they made a lot of money. And then they sold me to the securities kernel account is on my computer, because now they're selling us. So this is another slave effort. I'm trying to get a committee. I'm trying to expose this. I'm trying to get a lawyer. But I can't do this alone. So basically, Reverend Pinckney, who has been amazing to me, has helped me. But it can't just be me and Reverend Pinckney. It has to be all of us, because we're in some trouble. And all these pretty T-Mobile commercials that you see with all the people of our skin color dancing and having a ball. I have a document stating that all the surveillance that's going on is at the T-Mobile Corporation. Let that sink in. Paying T-Mobile to allow people to surveillance us, to steal our biometric, our DNA, because that's what's new now, the DNA, identity theft. And you need to learn about this, and you need to research all of this so that you can try to protect yourself, because now that cannabis is off the table for arresting us and putting us in jail, there's something new in town, and it's going to destroy our children, and it's going to destroy us, and it's mind control, and it's not a myth, and it's not a conspiracy theory. I promise you, it is not a conspiracy theory, and I can prove it. So I just wanted to talk to everyone, anyone who wouldn't mind speaking to me, if you have any ideas, if you have proof yourself. If you know someone who wouldn't mind speaking to me, who's a reporter, because it's very difficult. It's very difficult for me to talk to people sometimes because they're using something called middleware. So,
Ms. Tammy, what is middleware?
Middleware is it's a software that they're using. So say, for instance, I'm going to call you at 5 o'clock.
Okay.
There is a group of people 24/7 who work with this program. If they don't want me talking to you at 5 o'clock, they're going to reroute the call to themselves. So now I can't talk to you. Just like they reroute emails. If I email you today at 6 o'clock, they don't want me, if they don't want you to get this email, they are on your computer rerouting that email to themselves. Or worse, what they did with me and my son, someone wrote me using my son's email. I thought it was my son. It wasn't my son. My son said something horrible to me, which actually escalated the argument that I had with my son, because I'm thinking, this is my son who's texting me. It wasn't even my son. I talked to my son. He told me exactly. Because it doesn't, this case, it was very important for them to come between me and my son, because they didn't want my, see, my daughter was on drugs. She was at the New York Times. She was telling them a story. And then I had this son who was about to go to Cornell and go to law school. I was managing his political career. Me and my son, we double-teamed ignorance at the New York Times. My son is a very articulate, handsome young man who went to prep school. He was a good boy. Something happened to my son, and something happened to me. But I understand it because I see the software. What I did was everything that AOL gave me, I researched the hell out of it. And what I found is so troubling and so out of this world, I can't even, it's hard for me to even describe it. But the bottom line is this, LSD, mind control, being a target, being hacked is not a mental illness. It is something real. You just have to have proof. You have to have your documentation. We have to organize in order to get rid of this. You know, like I said, I worked in South Africa, so I'm kind of seasoned for this type of organization. It's just very difficult because everyone is scared of the CIA. But I cannot fall on my sword because there's a few people out there who's upset because they wrote a story without asking me. So now they're having a history. Yes. See, they done wrote a story. They didn't ask me. They found out that not only was my daughter not thrown out, she was a privileged child. These children, my children were in prep school, and they had a lot. They had a lot. They didn't have much family, but they did have education and opportunity. So the New York Times didn't ask me. So they were mad when they seen pictures of my daughter and Nelson Mandela. They were mad when they found out, they were mad when they found out that my husband graduated from Princeton and Cornell. They were mad because as a black woman, I spent $133,000 on that girl's education out of pocket. Mm. So they had to steal my computer and give it to the New York Times and put me in a program so that I won't show my documentation. But then they got caught even doing what they were doing. I literally watched them set me up in this program in groups of people, groups of, they use something, a service called Object Picker. What they do is they restrict your permission so that you won't have any access to your computer. And from that time, Reverend Pinckney, I promise you, it was a fight. And I sacrificed myself. I didn't care what I had to do to get evidence. I didn't get mad. I got evidence. And I have the evidence. I'm very proud of myself, of the evidence that I have. And there's something going on. There's something going on. And it's worse than you could ever imagine. It is worse than you can ever imagine.
Absolutely. You know, let me say this, Ms. Chapman, being a target individual, they have weapons that they use against the citizens here. And the bad part, you couldn't go tell your neighbor, you can't tell your family, because your family is not going to believe that this stuff is happening. They will never believe that what's going on. And as far as your computer and everything else, they have tools now that they can utilize and get information off your computer and also put stuff on your computer. They're good at that too now. Yeah, and you have to be aware of their capability, because they can do some stuff and destroy you. And people always look for the worst in a person rather than the best. You see?
Indeed.
And that story they wrote about you in the New York Times, that is a weapon that they utilize on just about as many people as they chose to. So, you know,
well,
so
and see, that's what the problem was with that New York Times article. Everything they said was debunked, because first of all, she did not leave when she was a young girl. She was 19. I couldn't stop her if I wanted to. I paid for her college. She had a business. I had witnesses. She went to, I think in the news article it said something how I ripped up her art book when she was 13. Now, this is the problem with the New York Times. I showed them that this girl had partial scholarship because of her artwork. She went to an art school. So how am I ripping up her artwork when I got her into an art school? So these lies, I had documentation proving that everything she said was a lie. And what they didn't, what they're upset about is that this girl is actually a person who was in a mental institution diagnosed with something called narcissism, 799. So she is a diagnosed person who lies. I had police, I had witnesses, I had documentation proving that I did all I could do to try to help my daughter. And they just didn't want to hear it. In fact, they put me in this program so that they can use something called Facebook Orca to go on my computer and delete and rewrite history. But what they didn't know is I had copies. So in order for you to obtain documentation, because like I said, I'm sitting here with documentation from Facebook and AOL, and it shows exactly who was on my computer and what software they're using. They can't say that these rewritten emails that they're going to produce when we go public is me, because right here it says that they're using something called Facebook Orca.
Okay.
The V7A ARM, that's artificial intelligence. I'm literally looking at the density and the width of the machine vector that they used neural monitoring on. So
absolutely.
They're using something called, yes. Yeah.
Absolutely. Ms. Chapman, your time is up. You got a minute to tell people what you want them to know, and we got to move on. And
okay, basically, basically, like I said, my number is 201-430-4470. If you want to call me, if someone who knows someone who has a platform, we have to discuss this publicly, because if we don't discuss this publicly and figure out a way to get and obtain documentation like I have here, we're going to continuously die. That's what's happening. We're
absolutely
dying.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much. You're so amazing. I just adore you. And that donation is on the way.
Hey, well, thank you very much, Dale. Let's just do what we got to do and make things happen and take this thing to a whole different level. Well, Ms. Chapman, we will talk soon. You have a great
day. Thank you so much.
Take care of yourself and stay focused. Don't get sidetracked.
Oh, I am focused.
Hey, well, you know, we have received over 27,000 emails and different things about this police out of Benton Harbor, Michigan, claiming we're claiming that he should be fired, but we want other people's opinion whether he should be fired or not. Look him up you can go to YouTube, you can go to the internet. There are stories on there about him, some of the work that he have helped destroy some of the people here in the city of Benton Harbor. But go look that boy up and give your opinion. I want everybody to have their own opinion. So far, over 27,000 people have voted saying that he should be terminated. But I got to go.
Indeed.
I got to bring in my good friend, but we'll talk to you very soon.
Thank you so much. Thank
you. You're so welcome. You're welcome. Now I got to bring in the one and only from beautiful Detroit and my good friend, My Senator Cole, talk to me.
How you doing, Reverend Feeney?
I'm doing great.
Good. I just want to say that, you know, I started this Reclaim Your Right to Health back in 2019. My son was buried 2018, and I realized because of his death about the racial disparity in the health care and medical care among the blacks in the black community. I didn't know it was going to hit me in my house with my son, losing my son and losing my sister 2 months later. She had cancer. My son, unfortunately, those crazy doctors at Beaumont and Royal Oak basically killed him and left him with strokes and kidney failure, you name it. He even cried because he knew that he was dying, what they were doing to him after they did emergency heart surgery. But my point is, my story is thousands of people, black people particularly, story that I have shared with some of those folks about they had the same situations, the racial disparity in health care. When you go to the doctor and being a person of color, you're not going to get the same care as a white person. A white person might have the same illness but won't get the same outcome. When I see my neighbor walking around and driving, when he tells people, his friends, and when he goes to the hospital, that I saved his life twice, a Jewish guy, and I see him still here, and he had emergency heart surgery. I brought him to the hospital. They saved his life. When I talk to people that's not a person of color and they're still here with similar situations with other people of color when it came down to a health challenge, and they're not here today, but they are. So I know there's disparity in health care and medical care. Like now, we're in 2021. I didn't know I hit it on the nose when it came down reclaiming your right to health, and I explained that when I had my medical form at a church and had medical speaker doctors and registered nurses and all that information got from Cleveland Clinic. It had it all, you know, all that above, and vendors bringing together so we can save a life. I had no idea that my son was going to be taken from me and still didn't get justice. We don't get justice. We have all, there's all kind of ways here in this country where they if they're eliminating us. Even with health care, the police, brutality, they're killing us all shapes and forms. The ventilators, when a person has COVID-19, I didn't know COVID-19 was coming in 2020. You know, and then with thousands of black people had contracted COVID-19 and were dying in the state of Michigan, particularly in Detroit. There's something wrong with that picture. So now everybody's talking about the racial disparity of COVID, coronavirus, COVID-19. You know, I'm not saying I'm ahead of my time, but many folks have realized that something's wrong when you take your loved one to the hospital and they die over something really minor, you know. And so it's a continuous fight. You know, now they take it to the representatives, the political, you know, platform about the COVID-19, why it's affecting indigenous people, black people, and disproportionately with the white people, you know, they have right now that one out of 309 indigenous Americans have died from COVID per 100,000. Mm. One in 555 black Americans has died. Or they say 179.8 deaths per 100,000. One in 565 Pacific Islanders Americans have died. One in 665 white Americans have died, or 150.2 deaths per 100,000. And we go on and on with the Latinos. One in 680 Latinos have died. So, and then the Asian Americans also, one in 1,040 Asian Americans have died. COVID is a worldwide issue that's going on, obviously in the United States. We don't have it under control. There's the fewer lockdowns that are going on across the world. It's affected India, Brazil, with the right-wing governor, Bolsonaro. He's just like a Trump and saying it was not COVID didn't exist and it was a flu. Same message that Trump had done, and that's why we got so many casualties just because of the misinformation. That's one of the reasons, and obviously the people of color. So now we've got all ages, and not just the elderly people who are getting coronavirus, but now we see a pattern where the younger people are getting it, all the way, you know, younger down to 2 years old, babies, teenagers, folks in their 40s. People thought it was just an old age disease. It's not happening. You got it in India, where they have cremations outside. You got it. You got it in France, where they have patients in the trains. You got it across the world, where they're treating people that they cannot get it, put them in the hospital, so they're treating them outside in the ambulance and all that. So we got a second surge in India right now, and it's so much going on. And we must understand, in order to control this COVID-19 here in this country, we must understand if we're not safe, nobody's safe. This is a global pandemic, and because of the response of the government in various countries, there's more casualties because of that. And that's why we have to really, fight for our lives. Even though we have these vaccines out here, that is not the cure of COVID-19. So we must understand, we have to have mandates in place. Various states in this country, they decided that they don't need mask mandates. The former President Trump refused to make it a national mandate for the mask and the 6 feet distance, so on and so on. It didn't happen. So, and in some instances, various states, they locally, they're saying, well, we got one state here saying, since it's not a national mandate, you know, we're going to do a mask mandate or whatever. And then you got another state saying we're not going to do it. So you got a situation in Texas, you know, they didn't support a mask mandate. So we have increased. So we're not, when the person feels that they don't need to wear a mask and do what they're supposed to do, stay at home, when they have COVID, not walk around and spreading the stuff and having social gatherings, they're not wearing masks, they put everybody's lives in jeopardy. So it's just a continuous fight, and it's not over. I rarely go out like I used to. I tried Instacart. It was okay. But nevertheless, I finally woke up that, you know, in spite of me having two shots, which is not going to last long, 3 months, 6 months. They don't know how effective it's going to be. It might be, you know, less than a year for another booster shot. They just don't know. But it's the responsibility is for me and others as well. In order to keep us safe, we all have to be on the same page and have a common denominator to survive this pandemic. And it won't happen until we all come together as one and stop making a politicizing this. This has nothing to do with what party you associate with. It's about saving lives, Reverend Pinckney. So I just want to say this real quick. 32,000 coronavirus in the United States deaths over 586,000, recovery over 25 million. So we, you know, if we're all in it, and that it's unfortunate that, you know, in the world that many of the countries across the world don't have the vaccines, and I think the United States needs to share the vaccines with other countries as well. But I just want to say this, the coronavirus worldwide is 146 million cases and over 3 million deaths. So it's counting, it's up there, out there, and you've got in Brazil, 3 people each minute are dying, and they have the variant in Brazil because Bolsonaro, he's a right-winger, like I said before, he's just like Trump. But the people there voted for him. I guess he's supposed to have been, you know, the candidate for, you know, when it comes down to crime or whatever, but he's not good for the people at all. So we dealing with people that don't care about us. All they're concerned about is making millions of dollars. And so it's a fight continue. It, you know, when it came down to the police department, we fighting all kinds of ways, saving as far as our lives being saved with this COVID-19 out here, dealing with police brutality, and then we're dealing with black-on-black crime. And we're just dealing with so much. And so and when it comes down to these hospitals, that the health care reform, it should be a reform across the world, because we don't have the equipment to save people's lives. A lot of countries don't have enough oxygen tanks or whatever. We're lacking that, and when it comes down to health, so it's a fight all together, and we must not ignore the people who are struggling in the continent of Africa and other Latin America, Latin countries, you know, the UK, whatever. We're all in it together to fight this disease. But I just want to say that I feel what's going on with people of color, particularly black people, that it's a population control. Because how dare you tell folks, oh, y'all can come out, party, do this and that, let's go schools open up, you know, and then you have the surge of people getting COVID. I said, are they trying to kill us? Well, they don't have mask mandates, and I think that President Biden needs to have a national mandate when it comes down to masks. So this is very serious in order for us to control this and not go into a second and third wave. We must be conditioned to do what we have to do our part to not only just save our lives and families, but people out there, we're all human beings, and we all need to be looking out for each other. But I just want to say this real quick about Derek Chauvin, you know, that he found guilty of all 3 charges for killing George Floyd. And that, yes, you mentioned about the police do prominence over our deaths. They do it all the time. You know, people donate money. They don't care about our lives. These white supremacists that's in this country, that's running the nation in the ground, that's over state across the country, these white supremacists, they don't care about us. We got to care about us. We have to align ourselves in our community and show us. Don't talk about Black Lives Matter. Show me the Black Lives Matter when you love your brother and your sister and the child. Don't show me that you shoot down a baby, a teenager, a grown man or a grown woman that does nothing to you. You murder your own kind, but you won't cross 8 Mile, which will be the suburbs, and kill nobody else. The police are killing us, and they kill thousands of us, and they get away with murder. This is why a lot of them white supremacists that infiltrated the police department, and I call them the KKK, Boogaloos, or what they want to call them, this is why they signed up to be a police officer, because they have a license to kill us with no... You know, they don't.
All right, well, listen, we ran out of time on this, but I got to bring in Belinda Parker Brown. But
tell
her more about it next week. All right now.
Yeah, sure.
All right. That was my good friend, the one and only, Marcina Cole. Now let's hear what Belinda Parker Brown has to talk about. Let's see, can we do that?
Talk to me.
Wow, Pastor Pinckney. Good evening. Good evening. Awesome show. Great show, Pastor Pinckney. Just listening to you at the opening part of the show talking about, you know, the Benton Harbor, corrupt, you know, sheriff and police and all of that stuff that's going on there. And I'm letting you know I'm in solidarity with you because it's time for all this stuff to be exposed on a whole nother kind of level. And that is the people going to have to rise up and get involved to change this. So I really appreciate all the great work that you have been doing there in Benton Harbor, Michigan. And I've been watching you on Facebook and paying attention to some other things that's going on there. So I feel like that, you know, we're in a time now, Pastor Pinckney, if we don't stand up and if we don't get involved, then we might as well hang it up. So on that note, I just wanted to let you know how much I appreciate you for taking my call.
All right. All right, girl. What's happening down there with Pastor Victor?
Well, you know, listening to Ms. Chapman, one of your speakers on the call today, was very mm-hmm. profound. And, you know, listening to her story and, you know, just looking at how some of the similarities and the dots connect to what she was saying that happened to her and her family. You know, very alarming in a way that, you know, could it be that Pastor Victor have came up against some of these same, you know, identical things that have affected, you know, her and how she's exposing it, but he don't even have a clue. And we don't have a clue because all we've been doing is standing around is waiting on, you know, who is everybody, somebody, anybody, and nobody. And, you know, I know you done heard that before because everybody thought that anybody could do it, but nobody realized that everybody would not do it. It ended up that everybody blamed somebody who nobody did what anybody could have done. Okay?
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Absolutely.
Okay? And then we're running around looking for help in all the wrong places when these people mm-hmm. got their knee on our neck. And we don't
yeah.
have a clue. Because I know one of the things that she said, Pastor Pinckney, that really is alarming to me because it's, I know that it's true where I don't remember exactly about what device that it is that she say that they're using. But when they want to reroute your calls, when they want to make sure that they shut you down and your calls are not being connected, something is real about that. Because it have happened to me on several occasions, especially with the emails. Sometimes somebody say, I sent you an email, and it could be days, a month before I even get the email. And then when I get the email, if I get the email. So what she's saying is alarming that these people have the ability to surveil you, and you don't even have a clue.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. You're 100% correct.
So, yeah. You know, and I really like what she said that reaching out to organize and mobilize people to come together to help expose this type of, cyber attacks up on us and what they're doing. I know that they, everybody is up in the uproar and everybody excited because they hung Derek Chauvis, they mm-hmm. hung him high and scratched him wide, okay? But what does that really mean, Pastor Pinckney? What does that really mean? And that's the conversation that I'm having with my constituents is because, like what Marcellus was saying, you know, justice for one person doesn't mean that it's justice for everybody. And if mm-hmm. you really want to know the truth, okay, I don't even think that it was justice at all, because it's still too much going on in regards to how the police our communities.
Oh, absolutely.
And the stuff that I really wanted to come out during the trial, it did not come out. And that was, why did they arrest this man in the first place on a counterfeit $20 bill?
Yeah, yeah. But Belinda, think about this too. When you're dealing with police, see, they sacrificed this guy. Normally, if a cop goes to trial, he got a 99.9% chance of being found not guilty. You see, regardless with the evidence. Remember, what's that guy that? Why can't we all get along? They have videos and everything.
Rodney King, right?
Rodney King, and they normally they walk away. See, but here's the thing that's got to happen. See, police officers know it's all right to kill a black man, because they got a 99.9% chance of getting away, you see. And even if they went to trial, they still got a 99.9% chance of getting away. The thing is, they know that there's really no penalty for them murdering a black person. There's no penalty. And here's another thing. We got to start going in these courthouses and dealing with these judges, prosecutors, and
right, absolutely.
Most of the time, we don't get the big picture. Black folks don't get concerned until there's something happening to them. When it's happening to you, it's almost
exactly.
Late. You know when it's
exactly, Pastor
to your
Pinckney.
Family,
you're absolutely
you
right, and
you know how it goes.
When you say that we have to start going into these courtrooms, because we know it determines on how the police is policing your community is the gateway to the criminal justice system, and for the system to weaponize you, okay? Like my grandmother used to say, chew you up and spit you out, and then, to fill up the penal system. So it's all a racket, on how, the police can shoot and kill somebody in the first place and walk away and get away with it. So, it's been happening. It's been going on for too long now. What is it going to take for the people to rise up and say we didn't have enough? And we're not going to take this no more, Pastor Pinckney. When I hear Ms. Chapman saying that, we can beat this thing, and we can beat this if we all come together, open up our eyes, and realize exactly what it is that we're dealing with. You already know, Pastor Pinckney, it's hard to fight an invisible man. Okay,
mm-hmm.
and my grandmother said, if you don't deal with the problem, you will never get the solution. Okay, so a lot of people want to run and hide. They want to duck and dive. They want to cover up. They want to. This right here was the big cover up for distraction for the George Floyd trial. Everybody in the world should have been watching that trial, but they wouldn't. Guess what they was out doing? They were spending at the stores their stimulus money. Okay, a distraction.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
A distraction. Mm-hmm. So. And then, Pastor Pinckney, we got the, when you say that, the courthouse, they should not be, empty. Nothing should be going on in an empty courtroom. And you know that for a fact for yourself, okay?
Yeah.
Because
that's
when the lynchings take place, okay?
Absolutely.
So I want to make an announcement. I know we're running out of time. This has been a great show. But I don't know if you got this announcement, but I'm hoping that people would write this down, because it's going to be a very, very important meeting that we want people to participate in. And for more information, it's going to be, it's called the Mass Action Network. The Mass Action Network, Cell Block 4, Killer Cops. Cell Block is like a hashtag, Cell Block 4, Killer Cops. Okay, the number 4, Killer Cops, and it's the hashtag Mass Action Network. And what it's supposed to be doing, Pastor Pinckney, is exactly what Ms. Chapman said. You know, how is it that we're going to organize, mobilize ourselves, support, and endorse each other, you know, in this fight to bring the real change that people need to see? We got to expose everything, Pastor Pinckney. We got to expose these hidden tunnels up under these courthouses, this city that they done built up under a city, okay? We got to dig all of this stuff up. We got to get transparent. We got to bring it all to the forefront. We got to talk about it. We got to, what we're doing here on the Pinckney Show is exposing it, you know, and I appreciate you so much, Pastor Pinckney, for your show going on for years and years. Even when you were incarcerated, your show was still alive and well for broadcasting. So people need to know that this is a very powerful show, that people listen to this show in high places, you know, big ears, you know, what I want to say is some big name people that listen to your show, Pastor Pinckney, they know we know. Okay, they know we know what's going on, and a lot of them out there that's listening can help us, you know, organize and mobilize the people to unite and come together so that we can get the change and the necessary change that people need to see. So I want to give out this number, and I want to tell people where they can go to Facebook, because all of this stuff is being monitored. The number that you can call for the Mass Action Network is 802-445-5959. That's 802-445-5959. And you can also go to the website at Hittite, M-A-A-P-B. That's MAAPB.org. Facebook.com/Mass Action New York, Twitter at New York Mass. Okay? All right, Pastor Pinckney, thank you for the having a great show and allowing me to speak.
And listen, tell your family I love them and tell them to hang in there and take care of yourself and stay safe and be careful.
Well, thank you so much, Pastor Pinckney. We're doing everything in our power to be able to do that, but we're looking forward for you and to you and Dorothy coming down here and being with the family so we can at least have you know, a protest or a rally or something. I'm gonna be calling on you in about a couple months to come down here, because we're gonna be having a big rally at one of our large courthouses here in New Orleans, hopefully, that that we're going to be saying unconstitutional predatory policing is wrong. Unconstitutional predatory policing is wrong. It's not criminal. And we have a case that is worse than the George Floyd case, that they have not released the videos that happened in Baton Rouge, none other than Ronald Green. So we're going to be exposing that along with his family members and everybody across the state of Louisiana standing with us for the police to the state troopers to release this video, the governor to release this video, the FBI to release this video, the Department of Justice in Louisiana to release this video, so that the world can see how the cops beat this man to death with a flashlight and then talked about how they cussed and said how they effing beat that nigga to death.
That's amazing. Right on. All right then, Belinda Parker Brown. We need to hear more about that, you know, and we'll set up some time so you can talk about it as soon as possible.
Absolutely. Thank you, Pastor Pinckney. Have a great evening.
All right now. All right. And the only thing I got to say,